speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
The Bible identifies much concerning servants and servitude. Oftentimes, whenever we think in regard to a servant, we think of slavery and those who serve in an unwillful manner, against their will, if you would. Often when we think in regard to servants and slavery, we think of the cruel and undeserving punishment that has been associated with this type of a relationship and ownership from even the historicity of our country. As we think in regard to this type of a slave and this type of a servant, we realize is that from a national point of view is that it is illegal, and also under the New Covenant law, we realize is that this type of a servant or slave who would serve against their will, it is indeed even forbidden by our God. The Bible also speaks in regard to servants as those who serve free will, those who choose to serve and to serve as a slave or to serve as a servant. In fact, the Apostle Paul from time to time considered himself a slave, considered himself a servant, and he called himself a bondservant. And what is a bondservant? A bondservant is one who realizes that they are under obligation, not under obligation so much, if you would, by the individual, but rather they feel compelled because of what someone has said or done for them. And as Paul looked to what it is that God had done for him, more specifically Jesus Christ, Paul placed himself under submission to the Lord and became a servant of the Lord, and realizing that he wanted to live his life dedicated and to serve God continually on his free will in a way that would glorify God and please Him consistently while he was here upon the face of this earth. Good people, the Bible tells us that as Christians we are called to be servants. We are to labor for our God. And as we think in regard to laboring for God, it is to be a labor of love. We are to love God in the same way, if you would, as what He has loved us. God loves us unconditionally, and God loves us in this agape sense to the point to where He is willing to do anything and everything for us, even to the point of giving His precious Son at Calvary's cross for our sin. And as we look to the way in which God loves us, the Bible actually identifies in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 that we love Him because He first loved us. His love has initiated the love that we have, and therefore, as children of God, as servants in the kingdom of God, we serve God, and our service to God is indeed not because we feel that we have to, but rather it is indeed to be based out of a labor of love, our love for our God. But also, we work individually as servants, but yet at the same time we work collectively as servants in the kingdom. We work through the Lord's church. And as we work through the Lord's church, we are to work together, to be unified. And in our service, not only then are we unified, and this sends a signal within the body how much we care for one another. Good people, I believe it also speaks volumes to the world, the lost and dying world, as to the fact that we are truly a family who loves God and who loves one another. And then this also, I believe, helps to draw others unto the kingdom that God has. And as we work through the church then, who receives the honor and the glorification? Most certainly our God does. And as servants in the kingdom then, you and I are working to serve the needs of our fellow man. We are to find needs and then to do all that is within our power to do to make certain that we do what we can to meet those needs. Why? Because we love God and because we have a love for the souls of all humanity. There are an endless supply of opportunities that God lays before us. There are widows who need our visits, and you and I would do well to look within our own family here at East End and to identify our widows and our shut-ins who are not able to be with us on a continual basis, and to realize that They have needs. They have feelings. They have emotions. They have a need for us sometimes even to go and to sit and to talk with them, to lift their spirits. And I will assure you that not only will you and I be able to lift their spirits, our spirits also will be and are lifted whenever we're able to share time with our widows, with our shut-ins. What a blessing and encouragement it is that God gives us to be servants to these precious souls. But also within the Lord's church, we know and we are blessed here to have many, multiple teenagers and young folk. And in this, these teenagers and these young people, they need our guidance. They need us to be there to give them what it is that God instructs concerning man's life and His will. And they need our guidance in regard to the obstacles that they face in life and the things, the challenges that they face on a continual basis. Now that school's back into order, they're facing peer pressure and these things can weigh them down. And you and I need to be servants to these young people, reaching out to them and doing all that we can to give them guidance and assurance in their relationship with the Lord. Yet at the same time, there are couples, married couples, who need our help. Raising a family can be very challenging from time to time, and having small children especially. And in that, we need to recognize how challenging it is, and those of us who have been blessed to be able to raise our children, and now maybe we're empty nesters or we've got grandchildren and such going on, we need to not only be there for our physical family to love them and to help them and to encourage them, but also to be there for our spiritual family to encourage these souls along their journey, not only to please God, but also in their love and relationship for one another as a family unit. But then in like figure, members need to be loved. Not only do they need to hear us express our love, but continually we need to be serving one another in a way that will demonstrate exactly how much we love one another. God calls us to be servants in His kingdom, and to understand is that our service is not about us, but rather our service to people is about our God. As Christians, our gifts must be used in service to God. Christians are called by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. And in this, it's through the bidding that we find within the gospel that calls us unto salvation. We understand that our sin separates us from our God. And as a result of that, then we are called and we come to understand that God wants us to surrender ourselves and to submit to be baptized into Christ. But God wants us to see the bigger picture, to understand the greater significance in behind our Christianity. And that is to serve in His kingdom. We are called to be servants. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And as a result of this, God does not send us out in a way wherein that He expects us to fall, but rather God sends us out on a mission knowing that we are fully equipped to be able to be successful. How so? God blesses us with talents, and He wants us to recognize our talents and to invest our talents. And whenever we do, God gives us an increase in our talents, and God instructs us then that our talents or that our gifts, according to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, our gifts are to be used to the glory of God, as we then would use those gifts as a ministry towards one another, meeting needs within the congregation and even beyond. Servants are blessed immensely for their works or their deeds. Our deeds, the Bible tells us, are to be done in secret. God does not want us to go around in a bragging way saying, look what it is that God has blessed me with, or going around and doing things openly for a pat on the back or for the praise of mankind. But rather, God would rather us to approach things from a secret standpoint, to go back and to do good deeds, and yet at the same time to attribute the abilities that we have to do the deeds as a result of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And who will see the good works that we do? Most certainly those who are recipients of the works or of the good deeds that we might perform to those individuals and even their family members, all of their connections. But above all, our God sees the works that we do. God is connected with the earth. He created the earth, and He's not backed away as the deist would have us to believe, but rather God continually looks down upon His creation, upon mankind, and He sees all that we are doing and the good deeds that you and I engage in as Christians to glorify His name. He sees these things, and also the Scripture tells us that there are spiritual and special blessings that come forth as a result of all the good things that we do in our lives. Lives are blessed as a result of the things that we will do for others. But good people, also our lives are blessed. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And the greatest way in which God promises to bless us is eternally, whenever we stand before Him in judgment. If we're counted as His faithful children, and a part of that would be is that we have served as faithful servants in His eternal kingdom. Good people, what is our life all about? What does life consist of? What is the main purpose or the goal in life? The world tries to tell us is that it's just survival, but yet at the same time, as Christians, we know that it's not just about survival in this world. It's about service unto our God. And the Scripture identifies a number of people who came to realize this, at least at some segment in their life. Take into consideration Solomon. Solomon, in the early stages of his life, he turned to God and he trusted in God and he leaned on God to provide him wisdom and guidance, counsel, and his life was blessed. But yet at the same time, there was an area in his life where that he did no longer trust in God. And as a result of that, then he separated himself from God. And later then in life, he comes to realize this and he wakes up and he says that his life was vain. Why? Because God was not there. Because he had stopped serving God and he had started serving himself, started serving Solomon. And therefore, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, Solomon concludes in saying, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, for the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments." I'm grateful that he got it right, that he understood what true service is about. It's not about Solomon or anyone else, but rather it is about God. Take also into consideration David, which was a part of our Scripture reading a few moments ago from Psalm 84, verses 10 through 12. In the context here, David says so aptly is that a day of service in the Lord is better than 1,000 days somewhere else. And not only did David understand that, as we go to the New Testament Scripture, I believe that the Apostle Paul came to realize that in his life, when he got to the point to where his life was no longer about himself, but rather it was in and around serving Jesus Christ. He said that I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In this, Paul and all of these others, and many more even, came to understand that life is about serving God. And these examples are set forth for you and me, for us, that we might be able to see through their lives, even through their mistakes, but also through their service, is that we need to serve God and that our life is to be centered in and around serving God and to understand that as we serve Him, we are to serve Him with all humility. Our service must imitate Jesus Christ, our Lord. And what do we find in regard to the service that Jesus engaged in while He was here? The people, the Scripture tells us that Jesus emptied Himself. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Scripture in the context there identifies is that He did not think it or count it robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because He coexisted in heaven with God as God. He is eternal in His existence. And yet at the same time, He emptied Himself to what level? In the fact that He took upon Himself the form of a bondservant. Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to serve mankind. And serve is exactly what He did. He looked to the multiple areas of life. He evaluated all of the situations that He came in contact with. He saw the needs that individuals had. And also He realized that as deity, and also according to the mission of which He had been sent to do, is that He needed to do something. And good people, that's what we find is that He is always going about doing good. Is that He realizes that through His good actions, through His divine love and care, is that doors will be opened. And most certainly they were. And Jesus went about on a continual basis to glorify our God. He elected to serve every soul that He came in contact with, at least to some level or another. And today our God tells us as His servants that our eyes need to be open. We must see the commandment for service. When Jesus was here, He understood that His life was more than just living a life here upon the face of the earth, but rather He came by the commandment of God. He came to fulfill the law. He came to do our God's will. He came to seek and to save those who were lost, but also the people. He came to provide service to every individual that He would come in contact with during the time in which He dwelt here. We need to see the commandments that God lays before us in regard to our service, individually as well as collectively as the Lord's church, and not only to see these things, but also to be involved in the works that God puts in front of us. But also we need to see the humility that goes along with service. Humility, I believe, begins whenever we see ourselves beside God. God is eternal. God is all-knowing. God is superior to anyone and anything. And good people, as we look in regard to the relationship that we have with God and the fact that we have been called to be servants in the kingdom of God, as we look and compare ourselves to God, then God seeks and He wants so much to humble us in His sight. And then also then, humility begins whenever we realize the big picture is that it's not about us. And it's not about survival in life, as we've already alluded to, but rather it is about making it through this life successfully in a way that glorifies God and also that seeks to build up, to increase the kingdom, both spiritually and numerically, and going through life with that focus to where that our goal, to where that our dream, our aspiration is to make it to heaven, and that alone. We see the big picture, and to understand also in the midst of this, the value of every soul in the sight of God. God calls us to serve, but He also calls us to be humble and contrite in regard to the way in which we serve Him. But yet also, God tells us that we must see the paths of service. The Scripture identifies these paths as opportunities, and God lays in front of us opportunities on a continual basis. Whenever we have the opportunity conjoined with the ability, then we also have a responsibility to do good and to serve our fellow man, and specifically or in a very direct way, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, "As you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are of the household of faith." I find it interesting from the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, the Hebrews writer identifies service as sacrifice. And certainly we would relate with that and to say that if we're going to serve, sometimes it will require us to sacrifice. In what way does it require us to sacrifice? Good people, it requires us to sacrifice of our time, also of our talents, and then also of our treasury, trying to keep the T's going there. It involves us giving of our time, of our talents that God has blessed us with, and of our treasury, of the funds, of the abilities that God lays before us. We need to be willing and ready not only to say, "Yes, I have an opportunity here," but also I'm willing to sacrifice in a way that will help to glorify our God. We must see the value in service as well. The value begins with glorifying God, but also an edification of the body or encouraging the body. Whenever we serve one another, whenever we do what we can to meet the needs that are within the congregation, so many ways these people are blessed. Not only are their needs met immediately, but they are encouraged and strengthened time and time again. I wish that I could go through and just to tell some of the stories where that Dawn and I have had a chance to sit with our fellow brothers and sisters, where that food has been taken and to our widows and such, and they've been encouraged, where flowers have been delivered and somebody's life has been touched by that. We've taken snack baskets to the hospitals and things of that nature, and people say that these little things are big things in their lives because it's the way in which the brothers and sisters in Christ, the family, is seeking to reach out to them. This is a type of service that we're able to do within the body, and there's great value in our service. Our brethren are encouraged, but also the Scripture identifies that the value that we will see whenever we are helping those who are on the outside is that hopefully souls will be able to be won unto the kingdom of our God. How will you and I be able to be successful in our service and our quest to please God, to serve Him faithfully? Good people, our lives must be changed. Our lives ought to turn away from sin. We cannot please God if we continue to live in sin. In like figure, we cannot teach others. We cannot engage in doing good deeds and then at the same time, they know that we live a life that is centered in and around sin. That's contradictory. We've got to come away from sin and to live a life that is centered in and around God. We've got to live right according to righteousness. And the world will see that. And not only then that we're seeking to serve them, but that we're serving God above all. And that God is most important to our lives. Also, our attitude must submit to the will of God. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He is God. He is Master. And again, as we compare ourselves not only to God, but to Christ, and to see how greater He is than us, we decrease and He increases. Isn't that also what John said must take place during the time in which he lived here? John the Baptist came as a forerunner for Christ. And as he went about, the Scripture tells us that he had a multitude of disciples who were following him. Why were they following him? Because he was the man of the hour, if you would. But there came a time where it was no longer about John, and John came to recognize that. The Scripture says, according to John chapter 1, verses 20 and following, he came to recognize that whenever Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And as a result of that, then John's eyes are opened, and he begins to decrease that Christ might increase. And in our lives, we've got to have that same type of an attitude that says, I must decrease in regard to who I think I am, in comparison to who I know that Christ is. And my life then is not only to submit to Christ, but also to honor Christ continually with my service in the kingdom of God. Our goal ought to always be for growth. We need to be praying for growth. For what type of growth? For personal growth, so that we will be able to be the type of servants that God expects us to be. And then not only to pray that God will give us that ability to understand the type of service that a servant that He wants us to be, but also then that we will have the courage to follow through and to be that type of an individual, that type of a Christian. But also then we need to be praying for congregational growth, that the congregation will grow together to this very end in our service, that it will be all about God, and that as a result of this, that God will see that our service is certainly about Him, and then that He will give an increase, not only spiritually, but also that an increase will come from a numerical standpoint. What will be the result of all this? Good people, our God tells us that He will reward us in an amazing way. When we stand before God, if we have served Him as a faithful servant, engaging into the lives of others in a very positive way, into the lives of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as into the lives of those who are outside of Christ. If we have done all that we can, not only to follow the commandments of God, to live righteously, but also to strive to serve our fellow man, our Heavenly Father will reward us openly then when we stand before Him in judgment with an eternal life in heaven with Him someday. Tonight, if you're here, we want to invite you with the Lord's invitation to become one of His servants. If you are outside of Christ, the Scripture tells us that you are a servant, but that you are a servant of the devil. And that type of servitude will not profit you any whenever you stand before God in judgment. In fact, if you are a servant of the devil, in the day of judgment, then you will be eternally separated from the very presence of God to spend eternity in hell with the devil whom you have served throughout the course of your time here. But yet, God begs, He pleads for those individuals who understand that they need to be a servant of the Most High God, and in this then to give their life over to Him by confessing Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitting themselves then to be baptized into Christ for